Passion, der Motorsport-Podcast von Servus TV. Alles zur MotoGP und World Superbike. Passion. Dafür schlägt unser Herz.
Herzlich willkommen zu einer neuen Episode unseres Passion-Podcasts. Ja, der intensive Tripleheader der MotoGP ist geschafft. Jetzt genießen die Stars erstmal ihre wohlverdiente Sommerpause. Für alle Motorsportfans gibt es aber mit der World Superbike auch im Juli ganz viel Rennaction. Langweilig wird uns also definitiv nicht. Über meinen heutigen Gast für diesen Podcast freue ich mich wirklich unfassbar, denn er ist der erfolgreichste Superbike-Pilot aller Zeiten. 6 WM-Titel in Folge und 118 Siege konnte er bis zum heutigen Tag einfahren. Die Rede ist natürlich von Jonathan Rea. Wir sprechen über diese epischen Erfolge, aber auch über emotionale Rückschläge in seiner Karriere. First, I have to say it's a big honor to have you as our podcast guest today. We all know it. You're one of the most successful riders ever, the most successful here in World Superbike. So thank you so much for taking your time. How are you today?
Yeah, good, thank you. Thanks for having me on.
We are very happy, and I would say, as you're one of the most successful ever, let's look back first on your successful career. What would you say, if you look back, what were the highlights that you remember?
Oh, so many. You know, I think potentially my first race victory in World Superbike in Misano 2009, because before then I was, a kid with a dream, but no real understanding if I could be very good at motorcycling or I was just fast. But I think when you win your first superbike race, something changes. You know, you have more belief in yourself. You feel more validated. You know what I mean? And I felt like I belonged there. You know, back then was, you know, incredible people in the sport, like Haga, Courser, Kagayama, Bayless. And I came into the championship in a moment with all these superstars. So for me to win was really nice. And I felt like then that was the beginning of my world championship journey.
Would you have ever imagined that you will be one of those big names one day?
No. Back then, no. But, in Honda, I always felt, competing against the other manufacturers, I felt, I have more potential than the bike's letting me show. And then when I moved to Kawasaki in 2015, it was like a fairy tale. You know, I was living in this world where just winning was becoming natural every weekend was incredible. The strange thing was you expected to win. When you went to the weekend, was nothing less than victory was considered a good weekend. And you know, now in the last couple of seasons, facing more difficult memories, it's funny to look back on the good moment, you know, in the winning era, let's say, because it wasn't normal. You know, you were in this little winning bubble, and going to the track was sometimes felt like a holiday. You know, you're going to hang out with the mechanics and, you know, eat in hospitality, enjoy a racetrack.
But sounds nice.
In reality, it was that was a great way of blocking out the pressure. Mm-hmm. You know, now when you face certain challenges, it becomes harder. You know, it becomes harder to go to the track. It becomes harder to develop the bike, you know, things are more tough, but that's a different challenge. You know, it's a different mentality, and, you know, one that we took on this year, and you're looking forward to see, you know, how much we can develop the Ninja ZX-10 RR.
Yeah, but as you say, to a successful career, there belongs these up moments, but also the downs, and you said you're facing them actually now. What would you say, or can you explain us what the main problems are? Because we kind of don't understand really the situation from the outside.
Well, there's a few things that I think we need to really improve on. The biggest is we need more power. Our bike is, since the regulations have been more and more standardized, we've lost a lot of potential with our engine. You know, the Ninja ZX-10 RR is an incredible base package at a good price point in the shop. But we're competing against bikes that are super expensive with super restrictive regulations to improve. So that part's the most difficult. Then from chassis point of view, we can always improve in areas like in hot conditions, we're putting too much pressure in the front tire, too much consumption in the front tire because we're overloading it, too much weight in the front. But this is the balance of our bike. So just working with my crew, my engineers every weekend, trying to understand these areas, trying to make small improvements. But I feel we need a big improvement now, and it's not coming. So sometimes when you're looking for something to make a big step, it's easy to get lost because you're trying so many different items. But I keep reminding myself I've got a great team of people, you know, great people. Just trust the process. Keep giving good feedback, giving 100%, and you know, I'm sure sooner or later we'll find a way.
But for sure the gap to the others or some other riders opened up a bit. Do you think that it's because the others got better over the time, or like why is it from one day to another, because you were so dominant all the years and then suddenly there was this gap to other riders? How could that be?
Well, I think the biggest thing is the level of support the manufacturers are investing in Superbike now, especially Ducati. They came in 2019, revolutionized Superbike with their V4R, you know, is a MotoGP derived machine. And they've done a great job with this bike, you know, has so much horsepower. Straight away, they were able to win races in the first season. In fact, they came out and they won like a machine with Bautista, and then he fell apart, you know, things didn't go his way. And we ended up winning the championship, and he moved to Honda, where, you know, he had the tough couple of years, but now that package is back together. I don't think the level everywhere else is much more than us. You know, I think in Yamaha is quite similar situation, and like with Toprak, you know, it depends. Some weekends he can be faster than me, some weekends the opposite. But right now, it's the difference is Ducati, and especially with Alvaro, he's managed to take the best from the bike. He understands how to get everything from the bike and win what looks like very easily.
But you can relate, no? Because it's like looking back at your beginning of your career. Now he's the one who wins everywhere, every time. So it's kind of, you can feel him a little
bit.
Yeah,
yeah. No, I understand the feeling. You know, I can also, I can understand his feelings. But I also feel, to take no disrespect to Alvaro, but when I was winning the championships, I had very equal in, let's say, power or speed with the Ducati. You know, I wasn't putting 0.5 into Chas Davis every straightaway. This is the difference. You know, now, you know, in some circuits we've been to, for example, in Thailand and Buriram in 2019, in the first sector alone, Alvaro would take a 0.6. How can a rider make up this difference? You know, it's impossible. You know, you can only do so much in the brakes for so long. You can only take so much more risk. But in the end, it's not possible. So this is the real difference. This is what we face. This is why you see, you know, guys like Toprak being completely frustrated with the situation.
Of course,
but
yeah.
But this is the real situation. And, you know, it's a credit to Ducati that and also to Alvaro that they're able to exploit all their advantages. But this is the area that we need to improve.
I completely understand. Let's focus a bit also on Toprak, as we already talk about him. From the beginning of his career in Superbike, you seem to always have a good relationship. You also helped him. What's your relationship like now? Has it changed over the years as he got better and better and became a real opponent for you?
Yeah, well, for sure, I don't help him anymore. Okay. But he's a nice guy, you know, a super genuine person, ruthless on the track. With the helmet on, he's maybe one of the most determined and talented guys that I've raced against. But off the bike, he's very respectful. He's a real champion. You know, when I was winning, he was always one of the first guys to come and say well done. And in these moments, you know, I reciprocate that. The same to him. You know, you can be happy because he's a good person. And, you know, this year, of course, he's also facing some difficulties. You know, last year to defend the number one, now this year even more. But he's a good guy. He's normal, humble guy. And he's great for Superbike because he brings something different. He's he brings a lot of fans.
Yeah, sure. He's an entertainer.
He's an entertainer, and that's really cool.
and he will stay in Superbike, but what do you think about his move for next year, BMW? Most of the people were pretty surprised and shocked, actually.
Well, I mean, if you understand racing, I was quite, I understood why, how, all the process, because it seems like BMW in the last years are, they're maybe the most aggressive manufacturer when it comes to wanting to win in Superbike. They're investing a lot. You know, I know their project is very ambitious, and a very good one. And it shows in the last years they're bringing out new bikes almost every year. And I think Top Rack could be the last piece of the jigsaw they need to put together. Of course, it will take time. They have to work together. But it's exciting because...
Yeah, it is, for sure.
And of course, only Top Rack knows the situation on Yamaha, you know, the potential of that bike. You know, is it going to get much better? And I think he's the only guy that understands the true... If there's a decision to be made, he had everything in front of him. So if he made this decision, it's because it's a good one and the right one for him.
There was also this option to go to MotoGP, or at least he tried it out. Would you have decided also in that more risky way? Or it's hard to say, of course, but if you relate in his situation...
In his situation, yes. If the option was there, of course. Because he's still a very young guy. A lot of talent. And he could do a good job in MotoGP, but also MotoGP is a tough championship. You know, there are 21 races a year. It's very hard to have a balance in life, to have any normality in your life when you're just living racetrack to racetrack. You know, I see with people I meet from that paddock, their concept of normal is quite different. In this paddock, also the high value riders, people doing a good job. Is a really good balance because you're doing very well in the World Superbike Championship. It's a very valuable championship, but also you have a good time at home, you know, and yeah, to have a normal life.
It seems like a good balance.
I feel for me right now, I've got two kids at home, you know, a 9-year-old and a 7-year-old, and I do like a more quiet, normal life. So the Superbike calendar and the setup of Superbike really suits me.
But back in the days, would you have decided differently in your career, maybe?
Yeah, but potentially yes, because but I never had the option. I was always talked about by journalists, media. Also, I had some conversations with some teams, but it was conversations. You know, it wasn't something like a contract in front of me or anything. So, I can't regret it because it was never an option.
Sure, but it would have been maybe
would have been something nice. That would have lit some fire inside, because
sure.
I did two races in 2012, I think. I finished 7th and 8th with little or no testing. And
impressive.
One race I battled with Nicky and Alvaro, actually. Alvaro in Aragon, he finished only a few seconds ahead. The previous weekend in Misano, he was on the podium.
You remember pretty well.
Yeah, I remember. You know, one of my heroes, Valentino, was behind me in Aragon, and when I finished the race and I have the classification, I couldn't believe it. You know, it was like
that's the moment you saw it.
Was unbelievable. So I'm sure with time I could have done okay in MotoGP. I'm sure, but you need time. You need the good people, the good bike, good opportunities. It's like everything. Even in the World Superbike, it's so competitive. But if you come here with not the right crew, not the right bike, but you're a talented rider, it's not going to work. You know, you have to have everything perfect.
Yeah, it needs to be the package, the full package.
Exactly.
You absolutely agree on that. The UK ground is coming up. How much are you looking forward to that one?
Good. You know, I love Donington. They've recently resurfaced the track. I've heard from the BSB guys the track's super fast. So I expect the lap records to be broken. Also, I have a lot of fans come there. You know,
does it feel different like there than the other races?
He's a lot more busy in the paddock. Yeah, also, okay. I grew up in the British Superbike Championship, so even people like the marshals or the people that run the track, you know them. You don't know them, but you've seen them all your career, and it's sometimes nice because it feels like you're going back to like home, like a home feeling. But I tried to put it out of my brain and just treat it like any other race. Tried to get the maximum points. I'm quite strong there. The bike's very strong there. So, of course, it's a round that we will focus on to do the maximum and try to, you know, be on the podium. But it would be nice to try and get some race wins.
I hope so. We're all waiting for you standing in the middle. The last thing I'd like to know, because the future plans are always like, especially now in the silly season, everybody talks about future. You have a contract still for next year at least. But did you already think about how life will go on in the next years?
Yeah, I did. I've thought lots about what my life will look like after bikes, but I don't see nothing
okay.
exciting. You know, I feel racing's my life, and I still feel super competitive and excited to go to the racetrack. I'm potentially as determined and excited as I was when I first came here in 2008. In World Supersport as a, you know, a kid on a journey, but I need to be competitive. You know, I'm pushing so hard to be competitive, and you know, working with my team to try and develop our bike. And you know, let's see the future. I have no idea what I'm going to do after bikes. You know, when the time comes where I stop racing, I have no idea. I can't see that right now, but of course it's in front of me somewhere. Right now, it's race by race, season by season.
You don't know what exactly, but do you think that you will kind of keep in touch with this paddock?
You know, I said earlier that the balance is quite good in Superbike, but it's still very busy. You know, if I give you my schedule from testing, PR, marketing events, is a lot.
Also, this interview now, we can and say it's in the evening.
And
like
and to be in this paddock, even as a support, you know, I give everything to my sport. When I go home, I live like an athlete. From I arrive home, training, sleep, recovery. You know, of course, you have some moments where you enjoy life a little bit and be more normal, but you give everything to the sport to be competitive. So I'm looking forward to spend some time away from the track to see what comes. You know, maybe in the future it'll be. I like the idea of working with a young, exciting talent. I'm not clever enough to be crew chief or something like that, but I like the role.
My
coach, Fabien Faure, he's my like trackside support. I like this position. You know, maybe in the future I could be, you know, a good help to a young rider and fast track him through the sport, and that would be pretty nice.
I'm sure that they will benefit a lot from your knowledge. On this point, I would like to say thank you, because you say you would give everything for the sport. And we, as the fans, we see that and we appreciate it a lot. You see that on the grandstands. There are still a lot of fans, even though you're not winning at the moment.
Yeah.
But you will, for sure. We have no doubt. And for that, I would say that we are already finished this podcast. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank
as
you.
I said, you're very busy. So thanks so much and have a good one.
Okay, thank you. You got a little you can use.
Der Motorsport-Podcast von Servus TV. Dafür schlägt unser Herz.